can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn with me to Luke, the 19th chapter. And also we'll be going a couple other places, John 10:10, Luke 4:18, and Matthew 15. So we got a few scriptures I want to cover today. And but how many has made a New Year's resolution this year already? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. And I was listening to the news this morning. I was getting ready and Janet turned the TV on, and there was some sort of expert, I don't know what she was, but the news lady was interviewing this lady, and she said, we make a lot of New Year's resolutions. She said, in fact, one of my resolutions is to work less the last 3 years, and she said, guess what, I haven't worked any less. She said, what's the problem? She said, the problem is it's a New Year's resolution. And if you've made a New Year's resolution, I don't want to discourage you at all, but here's what I know about New Year's resolutions. I go to the gym, and every year, I've been going for years, and every year at January, right after January, the gym gets full. Every year it happens. You see them come in, and they need to come in. You can tell they need to come in. I mean, everybody needs to go to the gym. That's a part, you know, physical exercise profits little, Paul said. I wish he hadn't said that, because some people take that literal, you know. That's just a little. Well, how many knows a heart attack is not little? I think there's two kind of people that exercise and take care of their bodies. The one that don't have a heart attack, and the ones that survive a heart attack. And this is not about weight. This is about New Year's resolutions. And so, and I'm going to give you 10 categories. If you got something to write on, you ought to get it out. And so I'm going to give you 10 categories. I'm going to give you a challenge today. This is something, this the 10 categories is what I had to do in a class, my master's class. And so I want to just pass it on to you because it was powerful for me, and I hope it is for you. But I'm going to give you 10 categories that I want you to write a mission statement on here in a little while, and we'll have them on the screen. But to me, New Year's resolution, you know, the thing about New Year's resolution, and they interviewed a whole bunch of young people, and they said, oh, it gives new hope, it's a new year, it's a new time, it's a new... And it is, but how many knows every day, if you didn't have a calendar, you wouldn't know what was the first, would you? If they put you in a prison somewhere, and it was dark all the time, and every day, you wouldn't know day from night, you wouldn't know what day it was. And here's the key that I have found about making New Year's resolutions, or just living, here's the difference. A New Year's resolution, it puts it out there, and there's hope out there, but here's what I believe. If you really want to make a change, do it today. If I'm really serious about a challenge, about a new lifestyle, and that's what I think a mission statement is. A mission statement is about how my life, I want my life to be. And all these 10 categories I'll give you in just a little bit. This is how, you know, all they're saying is how do you want your life to be in these areas? And so if it's really important to me, say if it's my finances, then I need to start it today. I don't need to start saving money next week. I need to start today. What is my plan, and why is it not important enough to start today? See? Because what it is, it's a mission statement. And I want to show you, Jesus Christ defined his mission statement. And here's what I believe. I believe the clearer your mission statement in any of these categories, the better chance you have of obtaining your mission. Clarity is power. Everybody say that. Clarity is power. Yeah, it's very, very clear. It's, you know... You ever go on vacation, you have a clear picture of where you're going, of what you're going to do. This summer we went to Naples, Florida. Anybody ever been to Naples, Florida? Oh yeah, it's nice, isn't it? And so we had a clear vision of what we wanted to do. We want to eat, and we want to lay on the beach. And guess what we did? We ate, we laid on the beach. I'm going to give you that one. That's hobbies and recreation. Yeah. See? Oh, you like that one, don't you? Yeah. Hobbies and recreation. What is your goal? What is your mission to that. Now, all that means is this is how my life is going to look in a certain area. And so Jesus gave us different areas of his life and how he wanted it to look. In Matthew 19:10, look at it with me, and he starts his mission statement. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's his mission statement. That's a part of his mission, a big part of his mission statement. And what he did almost every day was get up, and he didn't wait for them to come to him like we do. In fact, let me give us all a challenge for this year. I want to give us a challenge. Don't wait for the sinners, for people that are lost to come to you. Let's go to them. Is this on? Hello? You didn't shout near as much about that as you did the hobbies and recreation. So get with me. Because how many knows, the Bible says the wise win souls. And how many knows there's a great crown of life for all those that's going to win. So just being a friend. Just being a friend to those that need Jesus Christ. And so he made that his mission statement. And so that's what I want all of us to do. Is just create a mission statement. Just write that on your paper. Create a mission statement. And here's what a mission statement will help you do. It'll help you operate in your sweet spot. Do you know you have a sweet spot? You have a sweet spot in every area of life. You have a sweet spot. That's where you operate the best. And I'll give you this. This is something that my coach gave me, and I thought, that's powerful. And when you're looking at these categories that I'm going to give to you, ask the question, what is a delight about this area, and what is a burden? Those are two great questions. What is a delight in this area? What is a burden in this area? And it'll help you define your mission statement. Because here's what I know. Whatever's a delight to you, it goes back to two things, beliefs and values. Are you with me? What you really value in life. When I went through this process recreating my mission statements, one of the things I found was I didn't realize how much I value our walk and talk in the evenings with Jana. And I was amazed that it was way up high on my category, on my priority, my values list. And I love this. And so my life coach was saying, ask me, what do you love about it, see? Okay, you love it. What do you? And he said, do you love the outdoors? And I said, well, yeah, I love the outdoors. And I especially love it when the sun is shining. You say, well, that's kind of simple. No, it is simple, but I'm telling you, this is powerful if you get a hold of it. Because here's what will happen. If we don't operate on our values, here's what will happen. You'll just operate on some kind of value system and beliefs, and you'll look back with regrets. Because the thing you value the most, you just let it slide. Let me give you an example. For when I was talking about my values, and this was in my marriage and family, and when I was talking about my values, and I value our walk and talk, we just kind of vent to each other as we're walking, we're getting exercise, we're enjoying the sunshine. Right now we can't because it's dark so early. We have to usually walk in the dark, and we miss the sun. But I just value that with her. And so there's things in your life that you value so much, but if you don't recognize them, they'll get shuffled around and put out of place. It'll happen. It's like one guy said, if you don't create your mission statement, somebody else will for you. You know. For some of you parents, you know, create a mission statement about what you want for your house and then include your kids in on it. I want a tidy house. And so this means, you know, you're going to, no clutter, or the lawn's going to get done this way, or, you know, or if in your finances, you put specific things and what you value about each of these categories. Jesus, when he came, his passion was lost souls. And so he didn't talk about, well, I'm going to put a family in there. He didn't have that in there. He said, these are my mothers and brothers and sisters, didn't he? When he looked out at his disciples. He didn't talk about building a temple, which would have been a great thing for Jesus to do. Here's the temple that Jesus built. He didn't talk about building temples. He talked about building people. That was his mission statement. And by having that, it is his true north. Every day he got up, and he would seek more lost people. And he would touch them and heal them and bless them. Because that was his mission in life. And I'm telling you, this is powerful. It may not make you shout today, but it'll make you shout by the end of the year if you'll just sit down and write a mission statement. You'll see the clarity that it brings and the power that it brings as well. Now, in John 10:10, if you want to turn there, John 10:10, Pastor Gregory brought this out last week, and I thought, he's getting on my sermon. But I told him, I said, talk about purpose. That's where I'm going to lead into in January. In John 10:10, he says, the thief, or Satan, does not come except to. And then guess what he gives us? Satan gives us his, or actually Jesus gives us Satan's mission statement. How many believes if Satan has a mission statement, Jesus has a mission statement, you should have a mission statement? I'd hate to think Satan was more on the ball than I was. So here's his mission statement, and he's very serious about his mission statement. Except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his mission statement. You say, well, it's not very specific. It's because it's very broad. He's come to destroy and steal and kill everywhere he can. Trust me, you see the destruction all over the world where he's accomplishing his mission statement. And then Jesus says, and now he's going to clarify his mission statement a little farther. He said, I come to seek and to save lost. That's the first part of his mission statement. Now listen to Jesus. He said, second part of his mission statement, he says, but I have come that they may have life. They who? The people that he leads back to God. The lost that he gives life to. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so now he's not only going to bring you and I into the kingdom, but he said his mission statement is so you and I could have abundant life. Listen, if we're living anything under abundant life, we're not getting everything that God has offered to us. And let me say this. Oh, but you don't know my circumstances, Pastor. How many knows Jesus knows your circumstance? And he said, I can give you abundant life right where you are. But you have to receive it. You have to receive it. And so he says, I have come that they can have abundant life. So he defines it more clearly. Now, I want to show you. Go to Luke 4:4. Luke 4:4. And he defines it even farther. In fact, if you jot these scriptures down, you might do this. You might go home, and before you write your own mission statement, you might just put Jesus' mission statement in one sentence. That's what I did, and I'll share that with you in a little while. But just put his mission. If you're looking at the information he gave us, to say this would be his mission statement. Now, he clarifies his mission statement a little farther in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he read that in the temple, he's saying, today this has been fulfilled in your ears. And so he clarifies how he's going to go out and seek and save lost people. The how is the Holy Spirit that's upon me. The how is God's anointing that's within me. And the tool is by preaching the word to them. See how specific that is? In other words, if you're going to have a mission statement, you need to have the how in there as well. How are you going to do that? What do you believe about that? What's your values? So he talks about his target audience. He clarifies that. He says it's the poor, it's the brokenhearted, it's those in bondage, it's the blind, it's the oppressed. In fact, if you're in one of those categories, you're oppressed or brokenhearted, or Jesus is pursuing you right now, because that's who he's come to touch. That's who he's come to heal. Is you and me. Now, when he was walking the earth, he took it a step farther and turned to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And I'll show you the last part of his mission statement that he brought to us. And while you're turning there, I was just thumbing through Matthew. And this is not an exhaustive list, but this is just something I was thumbing through Matthew. And I thought, when you talk about his mission statement, he's giving life, he's touching blind and lame and lepers and all these people. I thought, this is his mission statement, so let's look at his life. And so I just started thumbing through Matthew and looking at the scripture, and I've jotted down some of his daily walks. And in Matthew, the first part, all the way through, Jesus heals a leper. Jesus heals a paralytic. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and he heals her. The man is demon-possessed. He heals him. There's another paralytic. He heals him. A woman that had internal bleeding for 12 years, he healed her. He raised a girl from the dead. He gave sight to two blind men. He's healing the sick and diseased in this huge group. He healed a man of had a withered hand. He healed a man who was demon-possessed, blind, and couldn't speak. He healed a great number of sick people. In another instance, he fed a multitude with a few fish. He was walking on water so he could catch up to his disciples so that he could make his next ministry appointment. He healed another large group of people. And then he comes to the 15th chapter. And I want to read this to you, because here's something that brings clarity. How many knows when we're talking about a mission statement, how many realizes that you and I cannot save the world? You can't be all things to all people. In fact, probably what God has called you to do is something pretty specific, and it's give you two or three gifts to work on and two or three maybe areas, one or two probably can be more effective. But if you're like me, you like to try it all. You want to do everything. When Summer was little, she wanted to do everything. She wanted to be have a horse, and every event we went to, she wanted to ride barrels. We went and watched barrel racing. She wanted to dance. If we went to some kind of dance competition, or the girl, you know, the cheerleader in the palm. And how many of you are like her? You wanted to do it all, see? And you can't. And there's some of you that just maybe, well, just there's one thing, but I'm kind of timid, I'm kind of shy. Let me tell you something. If you'll write and declare your mission statement, I don't know what it is, but there's something powerful about writing down your mission statement, and it's just like your compass. When you put a compass in your hand, it's going to point north, wherever north is. It's going to point north. And your mission statement says for you, it's going to point north. Let me tell you this. On your physical, write down what your ideal weight would be. Just write it down. And don't be crazy about it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Write down what you really believe that you would feel comfortable at. I've got that goal weight right there, and I'll tell you this right now, I'm above my goal weight. But it's there. It's like a compass that points to the north. I got something that's pointing north to my financial, and it's there. I don't know how I'll do it, but it's pointing north. And all I know is it there's something powerful about it. Ben Franklin said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're probably right. So, you know, write something down that's obtainable and say, this is my mission. This is where I'm ideal at. This is what I value. Write it down and just watch things happen. Just watch things come together. But and we've talked about this scripture before. But all I want to make a point out of this one is today's in 15:21. Then Jesus went out from there, departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." And how many knows a mother's heart and a demon-possessed girl? This is a great need. It's a compassionate moment. But Jesus answered her not a word. Is that like Jesus? Is that the way he normally conducts business? Not normally, is it? But watch, it's all tied back to his mission statement. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." Now, I'm thinking, yeah, us. Ha, ha, ha. Verse 24, but he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This whole thing is about his mission and his mission in life, his mission statement for him. This is why he looks at her and he gives her an unusual coldness. First time I read this as a baby Christian, I really got angry at Jesus. I thought, man, you was having a bad day, weren't you? And then when I got older, I thought, this is his mission. This is all he's saying is, I can't touch everybody. God has sent me, in the time that I'm walking on this earth, he has sent me to touch the Israelites. Mainly the poor and depraved and those that are in great need, but he sent me to this group of people. I can't remember exact miles, but I think it was, I heard a guy preaching one day and said, Christ never got without, I think it was 250 miles of his home, you know, in his ministry. Because this is where he was targeted. This is where it was at. Our elders said today in our prayer meeting, he said, have you noticed the stir in the Middle East? And he said, you know, I wonder if it's leading up to Armageddon. That's coming from the elder that seeks the Word of God in the face of God. So it's something to consider. Because I thought about that as well. And here's the good news. If your heart is right, that's good news. You know what? You don't have to write down all your missions and your goals and struggle to get there, because when we get to heaven, man, we're going to have power. We're not going to be under this system anymore. And so that's the good news. If this is the appointed time. How many is ready to be raptured out? Let me see. Right, well, the rest of you get ready. Because it may be very soon. And somebody says, you know what? I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what's the exception? Then she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he said to her, it is not good to take the kids' bread, the children's bread, and throw it to the little dogs. And that's kind of a thing that happened. That if you weren't a Hebrew, you were considered, you know, a dog. You know, just they were God's chosen people. And he said, yet she said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith, let it be so as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And so he went ahead with the healing, but that was not his purpose, and that was not in his mission. And that's what a mission statement does. A mission statement, heard a phrase, and it said, a mission statement is like a harness and it's like a sword. You ought to get that mental picture, write it down. I just wrote it down. A mission statement is like a harness and it's like a sword. It will harness you to the things that you need to be doing, and it will cut away all the false things, all the things that you really aren't called to be doing. Remember when Janet was talking about the gifts and the things that you have, gifts and talents and abilities and a calling that God has given to you specifically, and no one can do that like you can. If you just use your gifts and calling. And so a mission statement says, no, I don't want to do that. And yes, I will do that, because that's a part of who I am and where I'm headed. And it keeps you in your sweet spot. It keeps you... Here's a great question that my coach gave me. And I want you to just write this down. When I'm doing a certain thing in these categories that I'm giving to you here in just a minute, is it a delight or is it a burden? Just ask yourself that simple question. When you're in this area of your life, and I'm doing this, just go through all the time you have to spend it and say simply, is this a delight or is this a burden? A delight probably means that it's something, a part of your sweet spot, your calling, your gift mix, because it's something, you'll be like Jesus. You'll have a passion for this, just like he did for the lost. I mean, he was passionate and compassion when it came to the lost. And so he healed his daughter reluctantly, because this wasn't in his mission statement. It wasn't a sin, but it just said, I can't touch everybody, but I know who I'm sent to, and I'll touch this group of people. Then after chapter 15, Jesus heals the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed. He fed another huge crowd. He healed a young boy of epilepsy. He heals another large crowd who were sick. He laid hands on the children and blessed them. He heals two blind men. He healed the blind and the lame who were in the temple. And so he's doing his mission statement. What he's saying that he is what he does. And that's what a mission statement is going to do for you. What you're saying that you are is going to do that for you. And I'm telling you, that's powerful. That is absolutely powerful. Here's what I wrote down for Jesus. I will seek out the less fortunate and oppressed of Israel and give them abundant life. That was my one sentence for Jesus in his mission statement. Now, Andrew, let's put up the 10 categories. I want you to write these down. Can you put them all up there at once? Or are they all on different slides? There you go. Your spiritual life, you know. What is your mission for your spiritual life? You say, well, what do you mean? What is my mission for my spiritual life? Well, what do you value about your spiritual walk? What do you value? For me, it's an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, my day, when I'm... And if you ever walk up to me at home or somewhere I'm working and I'm talking to some, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm not crazy. I mean, it's like that. I know Miss Ray is. Miss Ray sent us a Christmas card. She sent us a nice little note, and she said, and she signed it, Jesus and Ray. So if you wonder where Jesus lives, but I know she does. She talks to him because when she talks about Jesus, she says, "Oh, he told me the other day." I'm like, "Did you see him?" You know, but she does see him, and she visits, and that's the way I am. Just during my day, when I'm doing whatever I'm doing, walking, working, whatever it is, I just like to visit with him. I value that. I need that. I just know he's there, and I talk to him and say, "What do you think about this? And what should I do here?" And man, I love you. I love you so much. And I'm just thank you for this day. And I'm just having conversation. I value that. And maybe for some of you, one of my professors, when we was going through it, he values the worship like we had a while ago with the free worship, raising hands and the music. And he said, "I value that." You know, he's a Pentecostal, and he values the shout and all the stuff that goes with a spirit-filled church. He said, "I value that." And like some of the churches that love Jesus aren't spirit-filled, you know. But that's what he values. And then your family, you know, and children, your marriage, and or single, if you're single, your work, your church, your ministry, your physical stewardship, social stewardship, personal development, financials, and recreation and hobbies. You know, what do you value? What do you value? I wish I was Haley and Aaron and Ashley's age and doing this all over again. What an advantage, you know, you all have to say, to if you'll sit down and do it, you know, and what a waste if you don't. But to sit down and say, just create a one-sentence mission statement. And by the way, it's not too old, too late for us older people. We still got life, so let's live it to the fullest. So just write them down and let the power of the Holy Spirit take you where it wants to take you. You know, your mission statement is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Before I had a mission statement for my physical health, I didn't work out. I didn't watch what I eat and. Sometimes I still don't watch real closely, but you know what? I trade off. If I'm going to have a big dinner, then I'll try to eat lighter during the day, or vice versa. And there's a trade-off. It's a mission for me, and so I've been in better health since I've made my health a mission, and not just a leave it to chance to say whatever is put in front of me. You know what I'm saying? So it is. I read a statement the other day I want to give to you. It says, research shows the number one deadly fear of people is having lived a meaningless life. Research shows that the number one deadly fear of people is having lived a meaningless life. Wow. Wow. I thought with all that God has given to us, and that's what people fear is living a meaningless life. And here's what I believe. I believe we don't get a hold of the truth. The truth is, whatever we do for Jesus Christ is huge. You see this? This is huge. Did you know this is baked for Jesus? Did you know I might put this in my pocket and keep it? She feeds me a little bread every once in a while. But see, here's our problem, church. We don't consider this huge. What what we consider huge is we're going to go out and win all this multitude, or we get to sing before 1,000 people, or, you know, we get to go on a mission trip and build, and, you know, that we don't consider this huge. God considers this huge. And the only people that will not really receive the rewards here are the people that overlook this and its value. Because you see, Matthew says, whenever you do that to the least of one of these, you have done it unto me. So, if Marlene, in fact, I heard Marlene had a helper. Is that true? Chrissy said, if you can't be in town, because sometimes she goes up to see Warren, her fellow, she said, I will take over and I will bake the banana nut bread. That's how important it is. See? This is her ministry, and she's taking care of it. And she's not only doing that, but she's passing the legacy on to her granddaughter. And I hope they realize how huge this is. Because church, here's where we miss it. We miss it because we think you got to go out and do some big thing. No. He said, if your mission statement is to love Jesus and honor the body of Christ and to glorify His name, you might bake bread for Him. You might take a sack of groceries to somebody that has a need. Now, if you don't get that, you won't, because you'll think, well, I want to do something big. Can I tell you something? Every loaf that's been baked is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, now, Miss Marlene, she's standing up before the throne, and now, Miss Marlene, looks like you baked 4,672 loaves. And that's probably a low number. But you know what I'm saying? Every loaf, every trip to the store, every trip home, every time she turned on the fire, every time she turned it off, every time she mixed it up, every time she bundles it up and puts the ribbon on and brings it up here and serves Jesus because she's serving somebody else. But listen, we won't do stuff like that if we don't have a mission. All the little stuff had just flown by. We were visiting with Cliff and Thalma the other day, and Cliff's been sick and not able to come. And I said, they just want communion. So I said, I'll bring it. So we brought it, and the neighbors come over, and can we come to communion? And they came over, and this is what we talked about, the little things in life. One of the things, and I'll read it here in just a minute in closing, but one of the things I read this year that I thought was hilarious. It said, human beings are the only creatures on the planet that entertains unemployment. Being unemployed. I thought that was hilarious. I thought, we're dumber than a bird. We're dumber than a cow or a dog. None of them are ever unemployed. Because they know who their father is and they know their purpose. The bird says, look at me. I can fly. I'll fly for His glory. And he just takes off, you know. I'm just doing God's will up here, looking around. What a privilege to be a bird. You know. What do we do? I don't have any place to go or nothing to do. We're dumber than a bird. The bird sees a worm. Ah, that's part of my mission, to eat. And then he eats. And then he sees a little fork in the tree and he says, part of my mission is to build a house right there. That's it. That's the spot. And guess how he starts? With one little twig. And he flies up and he puts it down. He says, that looks good. And he places it around. And he flies down and he flies back up and he puts another one in place. Oh, there's a feather. That would make a wonderful bed. And he gets a feather and he puts it up there and he puts it in just right. You know why? Because he's got a mission. He's got a mission. How many thinks now you need a mission? How many just don't want to be dumber than a bird anymore? Huh? And if I hurt your feelings, your mission should be to get over it, okay? Get over it. Listen to what, this is Lori Beth Jones. I love her books. You ought to read her books. They're great. The Path, Jesus, My CEO. She's a wonderful insight. Lori Beth says this, when I encounter teachers who are constantly complaining or meet housewives who are bitter, I quickly conclude that they are not following their divinely ordained mission. Perhaps they are following their economically ordained mission or their culturally ordained mission. But they can't be following their divinely ordained mission because bees hum while they work. They don't whine. I believe it is well within the natural order of things to have everybody humming while they work. If you're not humming while you work, you're probably at the wrong place. And this is the statement. She says, as noted economicist recently stated, unemployment is a characteristic unique to the human species only. All other creatures in creation seem to know what they're supposed to be doing. Do you put value on what you do? Listen to this. Same books. The famous Santa Fe artist and woodcarver Bob Ortega was a farmer who was, as a hobby, he used to carve wooden saints. One day, the community held a fundraising craft fair. He donated one of his hobby carvings of St. Francis. So many people ordered the pieces that he had to quit farming and take up carving full-time to meet the demand. He found his mission in life by giving what he loved away, doing something that came easily to him. And then maybe you've heard of this guy, Wally Amos, of Famous Amos Cookies. Anybody ever heard of Famous Amos Cookies? Really? All the heavy people know about the Famous Amos. No. Just kidding, I didn't see who raised their hand. I guarantee the dentist has heard of him, right? The Cookie Monster, we call him. Listen, if you don't know his story, he said fame found him the same route, baking cookies for his friends as thank yous and ending up with so many orders that he had to start a company to meet the demand. Neither of these men sat down and thought, I will be a woodcarver, I will be a cookie maker. They simply shared their gifts and the path opened up before them. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want to do. I want to write my mission statement down in these categories, and my coach says you need to refine them a little more, so I'm going to go back and refine mine some more and put them in just one sentence, because I had trouble with just one sentence. But just taking the meat out of for why I love what I love in these categories. But what I want, what I dearly beg you to do is to sit down and write these out. And it takes time. It takes us time to reflect. And we all have convinced ourselves that we're too busy to reflect. Well, you're not. You only have so many days left. And to make the most of them, I think we need to sit down and get serious for this year. And if you're serious about it, just sit down and write your mission statement out. What do I value most? Here's two good things. What do I value most about this area? And what do I believe? If you believe, you probably will. If you don't believe, you probably won't. You know, what do I value about this? What do I value about my work? You know, maybe you work at Tinker and you're working on planes. What do you value about that? Well, I value doing the best I can do because I want the men and women that fly on my planes to be safe. Their lives are at stake. See, I'm not just a parts guy or a paint guy or whatever, but take pride in what you do. Take pride in what you do. Why do you love doing that? Mark and I restore old houses from time to time together, and I love the end result of those old houses. That it was just, you know, just Jan came up to one we were working on the other day, and she said, "This is a mess." I thought, "Yeah, that's what we like to hear. It's a mess, but you wait till we get through with it." And I love to hear the wow. It's just a hobby, but that's what I like to do in my spare time. Just you know. Time or two a year, just restore something. That's one of the things I found out about my life. Whether it's a broken person that's now in their sweet spot, I love that. That's probably the greatest thrill I have in life, to see somebody that doesn't know where they're headed and what they're out of fellowship with God, to come into fellowship and be restored. I love that. That just, man, that pumps me up. But I like this the same way, if it's an old dilapidated house or whatever it is, to see it transformed and working in its sweet spot and being the best that it can be, that's something I value very highly. That's a part of what God created me to do, to help you find your sweet spot and be what you can be. And then I believe this about this area. Ask yourself, what do I value most and what do I believe? Be like Miss Ray, would you? You love Jesus? You think He's your friend? Just sign His name. He's cool with that. Yeah. What do you love? What do you value about these things? And I want to give you a challenge. I want you to come back next week. In fact, if you want to, if you'll approach me right before service, I might let you read one or two of the things that you value if you're excited about it. Are you with me? Now, I know this has been a little different, but this is powerful, church. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll make a huge difference in your life. You won't have wasted time. You'll be more efficient. You'll be better in what you do. Be more clear about what to do and what not to do. You'll feel like you have significance in this world because you do. God didn't create junk and He didn't have accidents. You're here on purpose and you've got a mission. Let's pray. Father, the challenge has been given. You gave us an example that you lived your life strictly by your mission statement, to seek and to save lost and give them abundant life. And how proud and happy we are that you did that. Today you're still seeking the lost and still giving them eternal life and abundant life. You're still fulfilling your mission statement. You've left that for an example to us. And so I ask, as this challenge is given to us, to write down in these areas, what is our mission statement? What do we value about these things? I pray that it will bring fulfillment and joy, and that it will help us to reach our fullest potential, so that we'll live a life of not meaningless, a meaningless life, or we'll not look back with regret. But we'll say, what a ride it was. The day that I wrote my mission statement, and maybe we'll have to redo it two or three times, Lord, but to clarify that and say, this is what I was created to do. This is my lot in life. And to find that sweet spot. And to stay in that sweet spot and working and giving you glory and honor and adding value to others. What a great life. And then, God, to be an example for those around us, that we can share this same information as we get our life in order. Our neighbors, our family that are wandering and strayed and from God, and we can reproduce that in ourselves once we have it for us. So I pray, God, that every person on the sound of my voice today would take this challenge, take the time, and help them, Holy Spirit, for all those that will sit and ponder and create their mission statement. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll go to them in a special way and help them. Speak to their heart and to their hearing and their hearing, and let them hear your will and your voice and help them with this project. This is a life matter to help them reach their full potential. So grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And while Christian's praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today, I want to give one more call. If you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, first thing I need to do is develop my strategy, is just get my heart and life right with God. If you're here today and you need to do that, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray a prayer over you. Anyone today? Say, first thing I need to do is just get my heart and life right. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else?